You know, if you were going to start a religious movement that was designed to spread around the world and affect as many people as possible, one of the weirdest things you would ever do is to pick a logo of a cross. I mean, a cross, it was what the Romans used to execute people on. Everyone there knew what a cross would mean. And so even the early church, originally they came up with different symbols or logos that would kind of represent what they did. One of the early ones was the skull that now you see on motorcycle jackets. But it was because the Golgotha, the place of the skull, you know, death was conquered, all that kind of stuff, not afraid of it. But then there were also various birds, a pelican, a dove. There was also the early on the fish, because the word fish in the Greek, ichthus, each letter of the word is the first letter in Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. But ultimately, it came back to the cross. And partly the reason why they picked such an odd symbol to represent the movement was because Jesus said so much about it right from the beginning when he called his disciples. He said, if you want to come after me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross. And once he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And then you go into the early church and the apostle Paul was saying, look, I preach Christ and him crucified. The word crucify coming from the word for cross. So it's like, you can't hardly escape it. So here we are celebrating in this, what's traditionally called Holy Week. You come to Good Friday and you're like, wait, what possible good came out of Friday? That's when Jesus died. On Sunday, we celebrated and remembered Palm Sunday. And then traditionally, the church calendar, Monday and Tuesday are days of when Jesus was teaching the disciples. Wednesday was the spy day, when supposedly that's when Judas went and arranged to betray Jesus. And Thursday was called Maundy Thursday because the word Maundy referred to washing feet, and that's when he served communion to his disciples and washed their feet. And then you come to Good Friday. That's today, the day when he died. Of course, then you look forward to Easter Sunday. But if we're thinking about his death today, it's not as simple as sometimes we act like it is. There, in theology, if you study what's the point of Jesus dying for people, it's what theologically we call the atonement. Like, in what way does Jesus' death, we know that Jesus' death makes it possible for us to have life, allows us to enter into a relationship with God and to go to heaven. The Bible makes that clear. It's a part of the gospel. But how in the world does that even work? How come him dying somehow does something for our sins that they can be taken away? And so there are different theories of the atonement, and people have come up with all kinds of, some of them actually kooky ideas, that somehow this was the deal they had to make with the devil in order to get the earth back because Adam and Eve had sold the earth to the devil. And, you know, all sorts of kooky, almost mythological ideas about what does this death actually mean? How does this actually work? We certainly know that his death was important, and we know that it was something that was central to him, but I don't think we often consider exactly how that's to be the case. So I want to call our attention to a scripture, my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, Isaiah 53. You can turn over there if you'd like. Isaiah 53 was one of the first passages of scripture I memorized when I was like 3 years old. And then I had Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who, when he taught one of my classes at Biola one time as a guest professor, because he used to teach that class, He opened the Bible to Isaiah 53 and he said, I want you to take out a red pen and I want you to draw a big red heart over Isaiah 53 because that's the heart of the Bible. So I took that to heart. Isaiah 53 is about the cross. It was something that no one really anticipated. Isaiah is writing 700 years before, roughly, before Jesus. And he's depicting the deliverance of Israel through someone dying, a horrible death. And so he starts out his story and he says, I'm going to tell you a story that nobody would even believe. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? How do you see God's power? You're not going to believe this. And then speaking of the coming Messiah, he would grow up before him as a tender plant, a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty that we would desire him. It's like he wasn't attractive. The pictures that you see of Jesus as this, wow, amazing looking person, that's not the picture that the scripture gives us at all. It's like, no, he came from simplicity. He came in a way that if you saw him, you wouldn't go like, oh, that's a guy I want to follow. But he goes on and says, he was despised, rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So, you know, it started not when Jesus went to the cross. It started ultimately at the incarnation. As he grew up in a rough background and spent most of his life in obscurity, no one would have picked him out as, that's the guy that's our hope. That's the guy that's our savior. No, he was just a guy. He was just regular. And yet, at the same time, it says, as he grew up before him, and no form or comeliness, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't esteem him. But surely, he bore our grief and carried our sorrow. So let's stop right there for a minute. How did Jesus bear our grief and carried our sorrow? We love the idea that, guy, you know, because of what he did, now we are delivered from everything sad in our life. We are delivered from everything that makes us sorry. Oh, we're miserable. Life is terrible. But then Jesus comes along and he suffers on our behalf. He takes all of that on himself so that we don't have it. Well, how's that working for you? Is that really what life looks like? Is that what he was saying? He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was sharing in them. He became one of us. The atonement certainly doesn't mean that he suffered so we wouldn't have to. That would be so easily disproven just by life itself. If we go through a room, you know, this size, and I had everyone tell their story of what is it that still hurts in your life? What is it that you've gone through that you just try to hang in there and you make it through? What's the greatest pain that you experience in your life? We would have a bunch of different stories, hundreds of different stories of how people are feeling pain, and you go, but wait, I thought he took that. I thought he bore that. That would be nice. That would be simple, but the truth is even greater than that because he took them on so that he could share them with us. But he bore them and we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We're like, ah. He was wounded, though, for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement, the payment for our peace, was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. And then in that great sixth verse, every one of us, all we like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The rest of the chapter just goes on to talk about the specific punishment that he endured, the misery, and the amazing mystery that it says it pleased the Lord to see him crushed because he would see his seed, he'd prolong his days, pleasure to the Lord would prosper in his hand, he'd see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, for by his knowledge my righteous servant will justify many. So God looked at his son on the cross and he said, I'm glad this is happening because of the people someday who will come to know me, who will be allowed to have their sins forgiven because of what's happening here on this cross. But again, him going through that pain, what did that really do to us? How does that really affect us? What does it have to do with us? Because the truth is, and again, Jesus let us know, you want to come after me? I'm not going to say, follow me and you won't hurt anymore. Follow me and life is just going to be so exciting. Follow me and it's like a fresh start. He's like, no, you want to follow me? You better deny yourself. Which is a big deal since in Isaiah 53 it says, we're all like sheep. We've gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. There is nothing more human than I want to do what I want to do. I want to follow the path that I choose for myself. I want autonomy. I want independence. I am, by definition, selfish. So I not only want to do what I want to do, I want you to do what I want you to do. And that's the nature of humanity. And yet, he would look at us and go, here's a possible way out, because you finally will be able to see someone who thinks of someone other than themselves. And so, yeah, we've all done our own thing. That's what we do. So the Lord laid on him. He had to do it. He had to make this move of sacrifice. And right now, you look at the disciples when Jesus called them, take up your cross. They didn't understand what that meant, really, because while Jesus was alive, all the pressure was on him. There was no pressure on them. Near as we can tell, they weren't in any danger. No one was trying to, you know, what they wanted to do is just cause people to see Jesus as being irrelevant, and then they knew the disciples would be gone. And they guessed pretty accurately, because by the time Jesus died, the disciples pretty much dispersed, and, you know, that was it. So the disciples' job was pretty easy while Jesus was there. What made it hard was later. Now, when you think of Holy Week, and you go, okay, you know, you go from Palm Sunday, and then Spy Wednesday, and Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, and then Easter. And often our attitude is, and Tony Campolo had a great message that he used to preach on this, you know, and he would say, it was a Good Friday message, and he goes, you know, it was dark, it was, the sun was didn't give light anymore, people were in misery, the disciples were frightened, Jesus was in agony, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And that's kind of the way we sometimes look at it. Like, okay, Friday is something that you endure because you know that Sunday is coming. But was it that way for the disciples? I mean, they had Friday. That was definitely awesome, awful. Saturday, even worse, because now he's dead and gone and he hasn't come back. Sunday, yes, he's alive. But then a couple weeks later, he heads up into heaven, and now it's on them, and they're finding themselves in a world that wants to destroy them. The disciples' lives got worse after Jesus ascended into heaven. And the truth is, all of church history ever since then is a time where following Jesus means pain. Following Jesus means this hurts, and I really don't have an honest, you know, confidence always that, hey, it's okay, it doesn't really matter. I have faith, I'm hanging in there, I'm going to believe. The truth is, in the church calendar, they called Saturday Silent Saturday. Silent Saturday is kind of pretty much where we live to a great degree. Saturday, leapfrogged over Sunday, and it's pretty much been the way that the world is, the way the life is, the life that the church is. And that's why Jesus had to prepare them for it so explicitly, so that they would understand, I'm going to go away and I'll come back, but I don't even know how long it's going to be before I come back. And so people are going to want to kill you. People are going to hate you because they hate me and I'm not there to hate. And so he starts this movement, and it was appropriate that they would ultimately end up choosing the cross as their logo, because it's like, this is it. Jesus told us. Even when Peter talked to Jesus, and Peter was kind of embarrassed because he had denied even knowing Jesus. And so Jesus is like, so you forgot who I was? And he's like, man, no, I'm sorry. He goes, well, do you love me? He goes, man, you know I love you. Okay, well, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my people. Kind of commissioned him back into ministry. But then Jesus said, by the way, Peter, someday they're going to carry you where you don't go, you want to go, and your arms are going to be outstretched. And it says, John tells us that he was telling Peter that because of the way that Peter would ultimately die. As Peter would be nailed to a cross in Rome and killed 30 years later or so. So that's the word. It's like, wait, I thought Good Friday was over. I thought we made it through, you know, Silent Saturday, and now, woo, we win. It's not that simple. It's not that way. That isn't ultimately our experience in life. And Jesus was preparing the disciples for the fact that, no, it's going to be hard for a long time. So what does Jesus do for us? He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Paul tells us in Hebrews that he went through everything that we've gone through, and he didn't sin. And as a result, that's why he can intercede for us. That is why he can be our high priest. What the cross ultimately meant was that Jesus would forever understand the greatest pain that we would endure, the greatest injustices that might happen to us, the lack of a sense of, you know, helplessness as we look to the future, ultimately hanging there on the cross and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Guess what? He knows what that feels like because he went through it. And so when we look at our lives, I mean, a lot of times I think we think, oh, I feel closest to God when things are going great. I just sense him, God's speaking to me, his words come alive to me, I'm worshiping him. Woohoo, this is awesome, I love Easter. And he's like, well, you know, this is pretty much Saturday. This is pretty much, you know, the death started on Good Friday, and it pretty much, for most of you, is just going to keep getting worse. But I know what that feels like. I know what that means. You are not suffering alone. I'm not sure all the reasons. Again, theologically, when you deal with different theories of the atonement and stuff, why did Jesus have to suffer as much as he did? Is that the price of redemption or whatever? I don't know. That, and you don't either, so don't bother telling me afterwards. But what he had to do is to be able to say, if you go through something, I've been through it too. That no matter how much life may pain you, I want you to know I've experienced that same pain. And that provides some level of comfort, but it doesn't make it better. It doesn't. I was talking to my friend Iris, his daughter Rebecca had gone to be with the Lord as a young girl. Guys, 25, 30 years ago, and it was on Good Friday, and she reminded me that that was the day that Rebecca went to be with the Lord, and it's like, okay, so how do you fix that for a mom? How do you fix that for people who love somebody, and now they're not here? You don't, it's not like he gives you this wonderful vision. I know for a fact that Rebecca is in heaven with the Lord. I'm as confident of that as I am of anything in life. And yet, it still feels like missing her. It still feels like something's not right. This is off balance. This is like, why did that have to happen? Why is that the way it is? And I think if we talk to each one of us, there would be things in our lives where we just go, that one knocked me for a loop. Maybe it was when a marriage failed you, or maybe it when you lost a child, or when your parent died, you know, younger, or when, you know, you lost your spouse, or you lost a career, or an election, or whatever. You know, that you're like, oh, God, my life is over. And Jesus is like, remember the cross? Remember not only that I suffered for you on that cross, I suffered so that I could always know what it feels like to be you. Oh, the day is going to come when everything is better. But that day wasn't Easter. And that day isn't now. That day will come. I'm confident of that. But at the same time, it's the cross that carries me through. It's the cross that allows me to say, okay, whatever I'm facing today, however I feel, whatever challenges I have in life, there's someone who knows. There's someone who loves me enough to have suffered everything that I have ever suffered just so he could say, I understand. I'm with you. And you know, that means the world. Sometimes when you go through something hard and then you talk to somebody else, I mean, I know a lot of the gals in our church who are widows, you know, they hang together sometimes, do stuff together, because it feels good that there's somebody else who understands. But then everybody has to find their own way to that. So like there are some women who are like, I'm a widow, but I'm not ready to join the widows club yet. You know, I'm just like trying to find my, just battling my way through. But sooner or later, every one of us, our future is affected hugely based on whether or not we think we are alone or whether or not we think we are connected. And the cross on Good Friday is where Jesus connected with us in a way that there will be nothing that we ever go through that he doesn't understand. And he would say, I warned you. And maybe when somebody shared the gospel with you, they didn't. Usually, evangelists aren't big on saying, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow. It's more like, bring all your problems to him, dump them off, and he'll take them all away, and life is just going to be amazing. Because that's what a salesperson does. But Jesus was like the strangest salesperson ever. That he said, come and follow me, and it's going to cost you your life. It's going to mean excruciating pain in the meantime. Who's in? But here's the thing. You might go, no, I don't want that. But see, the amazing thing is, life will do that to you either way. You don't live life insulated from pain. You don't live life and get everything that you want. Life doesn't work that way. Life is awful a lot of the time. Life is painful. Relationships are misery. You know, trying to, you know, having aspirations that either you achieve your aspirations and they turned out to be not what you thought, or you didn't achieve them and you feel like, ah. See, that's life. But the question is, do you want to follow someone who understands that pain or not? Or do you want to be so in denial? Do you want to pretend like, yeah, you don't even... Pretty much, my life's pretty good. If your life is painless, great for you, that's awesome. But maybe you just haven't been paying attention. So all of the worst things that happen to us in our lives, the cross says, not only I know and I went there first, but it says, I told you it was going to be this way. I didn't want you to get your expectations too high about life, because getting your expectations high is a good way to let yourself down. So Jesus is just like, I'm just telling you this day one. This is going to hurt. Who's with me? So Good Friday is where he experienced excruciating and horrible agony so that he could connect with us in a way that wouldn't have been possible otherwise. It's God knows everything, but the one thing that God had to learn experientially was to know what it feels like to be us, to know what it feels like to be less than perfect, to know what it feels like, not that Jesus was less than perfect, but his life was less than perfect. He didn't get what he deserved. He got misery, and thanklessly. I mean, for us, there are sometimes when I suffer and it's my fault. But there are plenty of other times when I suffer and it's really not my fault. Either way, I know I'm not alone because of the cross. And so he lets us know that. So it's not whatever else atonement means. It's again, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. It doesn't mean he took them away. He carried them with him as well. And that's ultimately what Friday is. So then what do you do on Saturday? What do you do for the rest of the days when it turns out that now what we are doing is, as Paul referred to his sufferings and ours as being, we are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. That is, when life doesn't go our way, we are literally connecting with him in a deeper way because he showed us, he told us, he taught us that I am going to endure this pain so that you will never, no one will ever again have to wonder whether anyone knows how you feel, whether anyone knows what it feels like to be trampled on, to be taken advantage of, lied about, gossiped about, killed, you know, crucified, nailed to a cross. No, he knows what that feels like. So if I, and again, it's, you know, if I'm hurt and I remember that he was hurt, it doesn't make me not hurt, but I go, okay, I'll go through this. I'll take this. I will deal with this. In all of your pain, the worst thing about pain is when it makes you feel alone. And the cross of Jesus lets you know you're not alone. But your life is being put together and constructed by him. Because as he connects with you, then for all time, we will all understand he gets it. He knows. I may feel alone, but I look at the cross and I'm reminded that I'm not. And so he tells us, deny yourself. That helps. Take up your cross, even daily. What are you willing, how much pain are you willing to endure from life? Because life hurts. You figure out how much pain you're willing to endure, and now you're on your way toward connecting with him in the way that really matters. And again, I'm sure after Good Friday and that long Saturday, and of course, of the 3 days, Saturday was the longest by far, because Friday it was really, you know, it was, you know, boom, he's killed and he's put in the grave. Saturday is just nothing. Sunday rises early in the morning. The longest day was Saturday for sure. So if we expect our life to be like Easter, Easter's coming. There's going to be a day when the resurrection happens, and we'll talk about this Sunday on Easter. I'm going to celebrate Easter like crazy with everyone. It's a precious holiday. But between now and when my time on earth is done, it doesn't look like Good Friday necessarily, but it kind of at least looks like Saturday. Kind of at least looks like, oh man, I don't have the answers. I don't know what's going to happen next. I feel wounded. I've been damaged. I'm not sure what's around the corner. And so Jesus said, You better be ready. You need to accept this basic principle. And I think Good Friday is a good time for us to remember that he bore our griefs and our sorrows, but we still have our griefs and our sorrows. He didn't carry them, take them away from us. If you think, well, no, every time I hurt, then I just pray and God takes it away. Good for you. I want whatever you're drinking. But in reality, he goes, I'm feeling this with you. I am connected to you. I am experiencing this. And so he says, ultimately, that's the essence of following him in this long Saturday that we find ourselves in. And so him enduring the pain so that he could then turn around and tell us, you're going to have to experience yours too. I love this cross on our wall. And I sometimes just come in here and I look up at that cross and I go, yep, I want to take whatever's coming. There are times, and you know, when you try to help other people deal with their problems and then you've got problems of your own and life can become kind of overwhelming. And then as you get older, it just magnifies. And we all need to keep looking at the cross, because it's like, he told you that's the way it was going to be. This is what life is all about. Did you take up your cross daily? Because when I take up my cross daily, it means I look at the cross, whether I do so literally or figuratively, and I just go, okay, I'm expecting this to hurt. If you really want to mess your life up, spend your whole life trying to avoid pain. Avoiding pain is like one of the worst things that you can do for yourself. Because if you avoid pain, you also avoid life. If you're sure, it's way less painful to not have friends, to not be in relationships, to not take risks, to not take chances. Sure, if you want to be safe, Christianity is not the religion for you. But he says, now this is where you will make yourself vulnerable on purpose. And you go, whatever happens, however it hurts, I'm going to embrace that. Because that's what he told me. And so I just suggest to you that sometimes when, you know, somebody hurts you, or when life disappoints you, or you're frustrated or tired or whatever, just take a look, either literally or in your mind, at a cross and say, so is this a part of what you were talking about? And he goes, yeah, and I'm carrying it with you. When I look at that cross, I know that I am never alone. I know that I am always understood. I know that I am always loved. I know that I am always connected to what matters most. And the more I connect to that, the more I also am able to connect with other people. It's hard to connect with people. I'm an introvert, so I could kind of do life without a bunch of people and I would be totally fine with it. Except there's something special about connecting with people who experience what you experience, and it adds to the experience. But I'm not looking for anyone to be that crutch for me. I'm looking at the cross to be that for me. But then I'm happy to connect with others, because now other people don't have the burden of making me well. They don't have the burden of making me feel better. They don't have the burden of making me feel like my life is worthwhile. I've got that covered by the one who went to the cross for me, the one who died for me. And you do too, if you allow him. That's what he wants for all of us, for everyone. It's just like, can I connect with you at the cross? Do you want to keep suffering for nothing, or do you want to suffer and know that you are connected by the one person who absolutely suffered more than anyone and deserved it less? And that's his invitation to all of us. And I think That's a reason to look at Good Friday and go, yep, I don't ever want to forget this, what he did. He hasn't forgotten it. The Bible even talks about him in heaven still bearing the scars, looked at him as one who was slain. And so he doesn't look back at Good Friday and go, man, that was miserable. I'm glad it's over. I don't ever even want to think about it again. He's like, no, I want you to think of crosses because this is where we connect. I know what you went through because I went through it myself. And that's the beauty of the cross. That's why the cross is an appropriate symbol. It would be nice if our symbol was just like a Christmas tree or, you just remember that, or a dove soaring through the heavens or whatever. But no, life's not like that. Life is a life that alienates us, that causes us to be misunderstood and hurt. And so in those deepest moments of pain is where he comes and says, trust me, I know, but take up your cross and follow me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you didn't just forgive us, but you literally carried all of the pain that we could ever endure, not to take it away from us, but to be there for us when we face that same pain. And so as we remember your death on this Good Friday, help us to never forget that each day and each time we get up and we take risks and we try to live life the best that we can and we mess it up and people hurt us and things don't go our way, that we can look at the cross and remember this is what we signed up for and that you went there first. And because we trust you, that we will also follow you into our victory someday. Today kind of feels more like that in-between time, because it kind of is. Your resurrection reminds us of ours, but it's a ways off. We don't know how long. But help us to faithfully deal with life as it happens, knowing that, in fact, we are never alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.